you take your Bibles, go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28. When I was in Mexico and first started learning the books of the Bible in Spanish, I said, I will never preach out of that book, Deuteronomio. But I finally learned how to say it fairly well. Anyway, wonderful book. I just finished reading it in my Bible reading not long ago. Just a wonderful book. So much information here. Chapter 28, we'll read verses 1 through 15, and then we'll go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55 and verse 11, to kind of put a period on the God speaking. So, if you would, beginning in verse 1, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, and the Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Now, that's a promise to the nation Israel. God is telling them, all you got to do is do right, okay? And I'll set you up high above any other nation. And by the way, I believe our country was founded on Christian principles. Jewish principles, but on Christian principles. And I believe that's the reason we were blessed for so many years. I'm not sure that the Lord is not beginning to take away our blessings, but because of Christian teachings. Verse 2, "And all the blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to the bless and all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." Well, that's a good lesson for our country, isn't it? "Thou shalt not borrow, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I have commanded thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And it did, didn't it? Israel ended up being cursed. Actually, God gave Israel a bill of divorcement, because they did not wholly follow him. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. So the Lord will always accomplish with his word what he intends. Whatever that would be, he will. Not many men have had theophanous experiences of the Lord. What does theophany mean? Anybody know? Mrs. Potter, okay. She's going to my class, okay. So what does theophany mean? Okay, a manifestation to man by God. Yes, you're right. Yes, that's what it means. So, and not many men have done that. I mean, I know you've seen some of these groups that say, oh, I saw a 100-foot Jesus or a 1,000-foot Jesus. That's not true. If they had, they would have died, okay? If they had seen him glorified like he is today without having a changed body, they would be dead. So that's not true. That's not anybody that says, I've seen God, they have not. It just doesn't happen. But many have heard the voice of God. Many have heard him speak audibly. We have, of course, the voice of God through the Word of God. But I was intrigued as we studied Sunday night about the sounding of the voice of the Lord, about the thunder and so on. And so I began to think about that and prepared a sermon about God's voice. It is something to hear. So often when you read about it in the Scripture, you'll find it's with thunder and lightning. And remember Sunday night we talked just a little bit about that, how thunder is caused by the lightning streak that expands air, and it's kind of like going through a sound barrier and there's this explosion. Well, that's the way God's voice will one day, when you and I hear it, will sound. But it will not be, you know, have you ever sit and not really notice a strike of lightning or didn't see it at all, and all of a sudden it hit close to where you are and you just about jump out of your seat? That's not going to be frightening like that for those that know the Lord. Now, for those that don't, it would be. But it's going to be something to hear it. It's going to be volume like thunder. There will be lightning around the throne. There's lightning. There's thundering. There's all kinds of movement. We'll be talking a little bit more about that tonight. So not many have seen them, but many people have literally heard them. Of course, when Jesus Christ, our Lord, was here, he was in the flesh and spoke as other men do. But we're talking about the manifestation of God speaking to the nation Israel and to others when we get to heaven. Those are things that happen. But he does not always speak that way. But what he does say in verse 11 that we read in Isaiah chapter 55 is that his word would not return to him void. It will always accomplish that which he's intended for it to accomplish. So the voice of God will cause some folks actually to hide. It will be so frightening. They will try to hide. Adam and Eve is a good example. Now, was his voice thunderous when he went out into the garden looking for Adam and Eve? Let's read the scripture, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, and they heard Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid because they were afraid. For the first time, now how long had Adam and Eve lived before the sin? Anybody know? I believe it was. I don't believe it. Adam got the commandment, God made Eve, and the next day they went out and sinned. I don't believe that. I think there was years, hundreds maybe. I don't know. I don't know how long. I really truly don't. I don't know if there's any way you and I at this point could know how long. It's just given us this narrative of what happened, but it doesn't give us the time period. It doesn't say the morning and the evening at this particular time. It just gives us the narrative of what's going on. But they hid themselves because they were afraid. I want you to notice the word Lord. It's capital O, L, capital O, capital R, capital D. I normally try to go through this every time I read a scripture like this, which means Elohim. But actually, a more definite term would be Jehovah Elohim, which actually the word Elohim has this plural understanding that it's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Jehovah, anybody knows the interpretation or the translation for Jehovah from the Hebrew to the Greek and then, well, just the Hebrew to the English? Anybody know what it is, Jehovah? Anybody know? It's Savior. So it's Savior Elohim, Savior God, or Savior Creator. Elohim means creator. Savior Creator, and that's what He is. You'll always find in the Scripture that Jesus Christ is the central theme beginning in the book of Genesis, because Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is Jehovah. Don't ever let someone take that away from you. He is Jehovah. He is Savior. That's what the word means. Yahweh is translated Jehovah, and that simply means Savior. So if you see the same word, Lord, and a large letter L and small letters O-R-D, it means Jehovah. Anybody know the second word? Nope, that's Elohim. Adonai? Did you say Adonai?
No.
Oh, you didn't. I thought I heard Adonai. Adonai. Anybody know what Adonai means?
The Lord.
Jehovah Adonai is Lord. It means Master. And that's what He should be. It's talking about the person of Jesus Christ. And so when God speaks, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. It's just so simple to understand, except it's so difficult when you think that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are three personalities but one God. Somebody explain that for us. Difficult, isn't it? You'll get it all the day you step into glory. It'll all make perfect sense. At that time, you'll be able to articulate about that. But it's awful difficult now. You know why? Because these little pea brains, let me use me for it, this little pea brain I have just can't comprehend God. I can understand some things about Him. I can read the Word of God and I can understand He's a loving, merciful God. I live because of His grace. I'm saved because of His grace. But I just can't comprehend His majesty. I can't. I don't understand. But His voice sometimes is thunderous. Folks that are sinners without Jesus Christ, that will scare them. As a matter of fact, it says in the book of Revelation that they will hide it amongst the rocks and the mountains and flee from His face, which I believe also means His spoken word, and beg the rocks to fall on them, to hide them from the face of the living God. Thunderous. There will be a time when His voice is like thunder and it takes up all the space around the earth. And there's this explosion of thunder when He speaks. It will be a time to be afraid if you do not know Him. But you know, the Lord doesn't always speak that way. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, Jezebel had, Ahab, her husband was king. Jezebel had prepared a host of prophets to Baal. And of course, Elijah went to the mountain there and told these prophets, he says, you build an altar and you lay down the sacrifice and then you pray and let God light the fire and consume the sacrifice. Your God, he said, not the God. And of course, if you read the story, they prayed, and they prayed all day long. They prayed for morning, they prayed for night. They cut themselves. They did all the things that religious people do, trying to get religious experiences, asking their God to come down and consume the altar or the sacrifice on the altar, and nothing happened. And then this smart prophet comes along and says, okay, get rid of that stuff. And he says, bring the rocks, bring the altar. Wet it down with barrels of water. And he got down and prayed, and here came the fire. This powerful man had a woman say, I'm going to get you. And he took off and hid in a cave. This powerful man, can you imagine this? Shows you what cowards we are, fellas. A woman speaks and we tremble. We're afraid. I'm still afraid. But that's the way it was with Elijah. He's in a cave. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. And he said, go forth and stand. This is God speaking to Elijah. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And that's Lord, that's Jehovah Elohim, Savior Creator. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. In other words, it sounds like to me this wind came and somehow divided a mountain. Blew something loose there on that mountain. I don't know exactly all the understanding here, but rent the mountain. And it brake into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And verse 12 says, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. But listen to this. And after the fire, a still, small voice. And that was God speaking. Wow. He can be thunderous. He can get the attention of the whole world. He can get the attention of all the universe with his thunderous voice. And yet, he will speak to us in that quiet, still voice. Isn't that something? Doesn't that translate into God's compassion to us? Could you imagine if he thundered every morning to wake us up? I don't think there'd be any late sleepers. I mean, his thunderous voice every morning. We know it's coming, so we'd get up before, so we wouldn't be shocked out of bed, just jump and, you know, just leap out of bed. Even my wife, with all of her arthritis, would come flying out of the bed. But it's that still, quiet, small voice which speaks. You know, sometimes when we have problems of physical nature, we want that thunderous voice to work. God, heal me and heal me now. We want that thunder. Sometimes when there's a financial stress, we want the thunder right then. We want to hear the voice of God. And sometimes there's family crisis and we want the same thing. But what's important is remember, the Lord chooses to work in that still, small voice. I remember years ago, and I still get emotional about this. Linda and I were living in Bellingham, Washington, and we were starting a church and just dirt poor. That was back in the 70s when Jimmy Carter was president. Anybody remember those days? Financially, I had looked and looked and looked for a job. Just nobody would hire me. I'd gone to the employment office. I just got out of college. I had a degree and areas that they were looking for people. And I talked to two or three people. And they said, I'm sure you'll get this job. Nobody else has applied. They'd give me the job. The Lord had lessons for me at that particular point. But anyway, I've always said I can get a job when nobody else could. And I couldn't even get McDonald's to hire me. Every time I go, you're overqualified or you're underqualified. Or we've got a job, but somebody else comes in and somehow the Lord lets them get it. We had to learn to live by faith. And so we were living by faith, trusting the Lord to get us through on a daily basis. And we trusted him every day. We didn't worry about next week. We worried about that day at that particular time. Linda was pregnant with Amy, and we wondered, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money to pay for this child? Well, all that was dealt with and taken care of. But when Amy was born, they told us that Amy had a severe heart defect. And they didn't know the cause or anything, but it was severe. They didn't know all the ins and outs about it. But I remember walking into the hospital and walking by a doctor who was on the phone. And he said, this, because she was born in Canada, this child from this family from America, they've got a child that probably won't live a week. He didn't know I was behind him, but I was just, had to be my child. I was devastated. And I wanted to hear God's thunder right then. And I walked back and I talked to Linda and told her what I'd heard. And Linda said, I need to pray. I said, I do too. So I went to Community Baptist Church and I asked the pastor, I said, do you have a place I can just be alone? He says, yeah, you can go back to the boys' gym. He said that there may be some fellows in there, but you could go back in the bathroom. Now, if you know anything about a gym, they don't smell real good. But I went down and I laid on the floor and I began to cry out for God's thunder. I wanted to see it. I wanted to see healing right then. Now, I don't know how long I stayed there, but by the time I got up, it was God's still, quiet voice that settled me, that comforted me, that touched me. And he told me, not audibly, but you know what I'm talking about here, don't you? He told me, it will be okay. Whatever I decide to do is okay. And I didn't know what that was. Well, of course, if you know the story, Amy's still living.
Almost 40
years later. But I wanted to hear thunder that day. Have you ever been there? When you just want, you want God to speak and speak loudly. But most of the time, folks, it's just that subtle, quiet, comforting voice that says, it's okay. I'll take care of it. Don't worry. We've experienced it since then. We've experienced it since then where God says, it's okay. This is my choice. This is my will. Everything will be okay. I like that voice. I think more than the thunder, folks, it's that comforting, quiet spirit that Almighty God has that gets me through my days of trials and tribulations. You see, God's voice can be majestic. It can be. The book of Psalms, chapter 29, verse 4, says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. It is. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 30 says, and the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard. One day the whole world will hear it. That will be the thunder and the lightning and the movement. They will hear it. You see, the voice of the Lord was heard at our Lord's baptism. I don't know how many folks were there, but they heard it. The voice of the Lord was heard at the Mount of Transfiguration, where two or three of the apostles were there. They heard the voice of Almighty God speaking. They heard it. But sadly, and this is the most disturbing part, men do not always want to hear the voice of God. Some do not want to hear the thunder, and most do not want to hear the still quiet voice that comes from God. John chapter 12, verse 28 through 29 says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore stood by and heard it and said, it is thunder. And others said, an angel spake to him. They did not recognize the voice of Almighty God. You know, folks that are lost can't recognize Him when He speaks. They can't. A lost man, boy or girl, woman, boy or girl, can only hear that still, quiet, small voice when He brings them under conviction of their need of salvation. That's what they can hear. Now, for those that are saved, we can hear many things. God speaks through His Word. He uses this wonderful book that we have to deal and talk with us. His small voice works in our lives. But sad to say, many reject that still small voice. John chapter 16, verse 8 says, and when he has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, the still small voice." I remember as a kid, I was going to Wilder Memorial Baptist Church. This church was named after a great preacher in Savannah, Georgia, named Brother Wilder. I met him when I was a little boy, probably maybe 5 years old. My dad had taken me to a barbershop close to my grandma's house. And I was sitting there, and Brother Wilder, he was a man, and again, of course, everybody when you're that age looks a lot taller, but probably a man about this tall, thin fella. He dressed, you know, not in the type of suits they were wearing back in the late 40s or late 40s. It would have been early 50s. I'd have been five, so I'd have been probably 1950. He dressed more like the suits were back maybe in the turn of the century, because he caught my eye because I'd never seen anybody dressed like that. But it was all black, white shirt, and a funny-looking tie. I can't remember much about the tie, but it didn't look like a normal suit that you see men wear. And he walked into the barbershop, and he walked right up to me and started carrying a conversation about the Lord to me. And I was so impressed with Brother Wilder, because he cared enough to talk. All the men that were there, and there were a lot of men there, he came up to talk to a five-year-old. What a blessing that was to me. Anyway, I was going to this church. I was probably at this time about 12, maybe 13 years old. My mom went always. My dad went pretty often at that time. And I remember there was a man in the church. And I remember this so clearly because it affected me. He said, "I would love to get saved, but God does not speak to me." That really bothered me as a child. It really bothered me because the Lord had spoken to me. He had. He dealt with me almost every sermon. I didn't respond correctly. I had, at 12 years old, I had the things I wanted to do. But he spoke. But he said, "He doesn't speak to me." And I remember so clearly feeling so sorry for the man. But you know, as I think back, I sometimes wonder, was he expecting a feeling? And I believe that's what it was. I think he wanted to feel. He was raised in churches that do the feeling thing. And he came to this Baptist church. He was very faithful to that church. But he'd say almost every service, "God doesn't speak to me." But I think he was waiting for a feeling, and he never got it. Folks, don't wait for a feeling. Your salvation is not based on feeling. It's based on the voice of Almighty God through the Word of God. That's what it's based on. It's based on faith, not feeling. Based on what you believe about the work of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again. God speaks that in that voice every service. And I think he would not listen to the voice of God, but had his feelings that kept him lost. God speaks. Today, in this service, I believe he's speaking now. That still, quiet voice is here, speaking, asking you either to be saved or be surrendered. That's the two choices. No other choice. Save or surrender. What will you do? What will you do? Will you be saved if you're lost? Will you surrender to that still, small voice if you're saved? Let's pray.